morning and welcome to the service, and it is certainly good to be able to come together to worship God this morning. I think about the tools that we use around the house each day, and when we use them, we want them to be useful. We want them to be ready to go. If we have those rechargeable appliances around the house, we want them to be charged up and ready to go. If we have that rechargeable cutting knife in the kitchen, or if we have that rechargeable leaf blower, or whatever it might be, we want that to be charged up and ready to go. And when it's not, we're frustrated. We go to get it, we pull it out of the wall, it's not charged up, and we have to go do something else. We have tools that we use that we want them to be useful and ready to go. When Ken is cutting carpet, he doesn't want a dull knife. He's not going to have a dull knife. It's not going to work. And so he uses those really sharp carpet blades. And if you've ever been around one of those things, that's one of the sharpest knives that I think is in existence. But when Ken is using those things and they're dull, he takes it out and throws it away. It's not useful anymore. It's not going to cut. And when Dave is cutting down his trees out there on the farm, he wants a sharp blade on that chainsaw. And ladies, when you're cutting fabric or whatever it might be, you want those sharp fabric shears. And you don't want to do like what I do from time to time and grab Sherry's nice fabric shears and take them down in the garage and cut a piece of aluminum with them or something like that. I get in trouble when I do that. She wants those to be sharp and ready to use. And so we understand the importance of that and the value of that. We all have these tools at our disposal, and we want them ready to go. We want them to be useful. In the same way, as a Christian, the Lord wants us to be ready for His use each day. And so this morning, I want us to think about, from a positive standpoint, the idea of being ready for the Master's use. The old English word found in the King James and other versions, meet, M-E-E-T, the old English word to be useful, to be ready to go. And so I want us to talk this morning about that matter. And if you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we will read a passage of Scripture there. As you're turning over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to think about our military and how that they stay ready so that they can be used at a moment's notice. Why do they go through the training? Why do they go through the exercises? Why do they have to stay ready to go? I think about the National Guard. And if you're a member of the National Guard, you go once a month and you go and you stay, and sometimes you have to go through that training again. Why is that? So that when the hurricane comes or the tornado passes through a town, the National Guard is ready to go. They keep that training up to date. Sometimes they go back to school. Sometimes they go through military exercises so that they can stay on top of their usefulness. So when the situation presents itself, they're useful. They're ready to go. It's not a matter of, well, we got to get ready. Well, it'd be too late. I think about our members of our military who stay ready so that we can be free all the time and we can have that freedom at a moment's notice. In the Revolutionary War, who was the Minuteman? Who was the Minuteman? He was that farmer who was out plowing in the field, but he had a gun on his back, a gun slung around his shoulder. He was ready to go in case the British came. So the Minuteman, what is that? I'm ready at a moment's notice. I'm ready to go. I'm useful in the service there whenever I need to do that. And if I need to drop the plow and go fight, I'll do that. And so we had the Minuteman. Well, I also think about our rescue personnel and how that they stay ready at a moment's notice so that they can be used any time that they need to, any hour of the day. Mike's familiar with this. Why is the fire truck backed up, facing outward, gassed up, all ready to go? Why is that? Because we want to be ready when that fire goes off. And that alarm goes off. And we know about the fireman who's got his boots right there, and he slides down the pole, and he gets into the boots, and he gets into the clothing there, and they speed off, and they're ready to go. We can't just say, well, you know, got to get some gas first, got to pull into Sitco first and get some gas, and I don't know where my boots are, and the house is burning down, you see. We understand the rescue personnel, and here goes the EMS, and they're on call, and they're ready to go. And that well-known Cedar Hill Fire Department that we have out there. You know, they'll go out there and they'll sleep and they take turns. And there's some men that sleep out there and they're ready to get in that truck. Why is that? Because it's an emergency and we have to be ready. And matters of the military are serious. And those are critical times and lives are at stake. And so readiness is important. We understand that. In the same vein, then, we understand that as faithful Christians, we need to stay ready each day that we live to be used by Jesus at all times. I want to be a worker for the Lord. And we sang some songs, and I appreciate those that were selected to focus in on the importance of being ready to be used in the Lord's service. The Apostle Paul talks about that very thing. If you'll come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to begin reading and get the background and context of this, beginning back in verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, of these things, the things that he had been talking about, the lessons that are important for the church, put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord. Them, the church. And if you look at 1 Timothy, Paul had written to Timothy, he had been left at Ephesus, and the church there, Timothy is working with the church, and so the Christians of the church there in the local congregation, charging them in the sight of the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of them that hear. There are things that a person can get caught up in outside the Bible that are not profitable, and there's a lot of that going on today. This past week in the series of Bible studies that I was a part of, and I appreciate you keeping me in your prayers, some things dealing with Calvinism, some other things that we talked about that were helpful to me. I wasn't up on everything that's out there. It's hard to stay up with all the devil is doing. It really is. But some things that I learned in another lesson, people are saying that, and I found out when I got home, a close friend of mine in the church is saying the same thing, that there is no second coming of Christ. There's no second coming of Christ. All the comings that are mentioned there in the first century all have to do with the destruction of Jerusalem. And then there's some modifications on that where the devil is not even real anymore, and it just goes on and on and on. Verse 14, there are things outside the Word of God that are subverting them, that here, taking them under. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. But shun profane babblings, for they will proceed further in ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a gangrene, or a cancer, or a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. I learned in a lesson this past week where some among this movement are about no second coming are saying that 1 Corinthians 15 is not about the bodily resurrection of Jesus or others at the end of time. All kinds of strange and erroneous doctrines floating around even among some brethren. Verse 19, howbeit the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal or this guarantee, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. Now in a great house, and a physical illustration of someone's home, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, these would be maybe the eating utensils, but also wood and of earth, a chair, a table, an earthen vessel, a water pot made out of clay. So there are vessels of honor, some unto honor, the gold and silver, and some unto dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the dishonorable things, and I believe what Paul is talking about, it is he's going back to verse 14, these erroneous doctrines, doctrines that subvert, words that are of no profit, dishonorable things like that. The teaching of Hymenaeus and Philetus, dishonorable things. We've got to get rid of those kinds of things, purge ourselves from those things. If we do, Paul says, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that is, set apart, meet or useful, your version might say, for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. I want us to talk this morning about meet for the master's use, ready and fit for the master's use. The word use here is only used about three times in the New Testament here and two other places. It means literally easily used. Let me ask you this. Today, are you going to be easily used in the Lord's service? You'll just be easily used for whatever He wants. Or will there be something else going on in your life or my life that will hinder that today? When you get up tomorrow, will you be easily used for the Lord's service? That's what is discussed here. And we need to live in such a way that the Lord can use us easily every day for His service. And so I want us to talk a little bit this morning about that. When you look in the New Testament, you find individuals who have named the name of the Lord, but they're not being used. They're not ready for use. Come back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Why is it that the unrepentant sinner, and this is the hardened sinner, why is it that Paul said that he would be delivered to Satan? Why is that? He's not useful to the Lord in his current spiritual state. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, I commit thee, my child Timothy, according to the prophecies which led the way, that you war the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having thrust from them, have made shipwreck concerning the faith, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. Now that's a whole lesson in itself. What does it mean to be delivered to Satan? It's a good lesson. We can look at that at some other time. But the idea here is that they've been given over to Satan's service. Why? They've made shipwreck of the faith. They're of no use to the Lord. So I delivered them to Satan. In their current spiritual state, they're hardened. They don't want the Lord, and so they're to be delivered to Satan. You stop and think about, are you useful to the Lord today in your current relationship with Him? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. Why is it that with regard to the church at Ephesus, if they don't repent, John says, and Jesus says through John, that their candlestick will be removed? They're not useful to the Lord in their current spiritual state. They're lukewarm. You know, they're in between the devil and the Lord. They're neither hot nor cold. And Jesus said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And so if you don't repent, or else I come and I will move thy candlestick out of its place, except you repent. Why? Because in that current lukewarm state, you're not helpful to the Lord. You're not useful to the Lord. And so what we find then is in the Word of God, it's not a matter of just being any religious person. We have to be useful to the Lord. Just like, it's not a matter of, well, do I have some axes down in the garage? Are they sharp? That's the only one that I'm going to use. It doesn't matter whether I have a whole corner full of axes. The sharp one is the one that's used, that I need. It's not a matter of, do you have a whole drawer? Ladies, do you have a drawer full of dull knives? You ever get that? After a while, you just got a whole drawer full of them. None of them are any good. And after a while, you just gather them all up and you go throw them in the garbage can. And you go buy a new set of really sharp cutting knives. After a while, you just get a whole drawer full. It's not a matter, well, look at all these knives I've got. It's the sharp one that I end up grabbing every time anyway, isn't it? And so we find that Hymenaeus and Alexander, they've been delivered to Satan. And if Ephesus doesn't change, their candlestick's going to be removed. It's not a matter of the Lord says, well, you know, I just want some religious folks. No, I want those that are useful, meet for the Master's use. And so we need to be thinking about our relationship with the Lord and how we can best be used in that situation. And so that which is not useful to the Lord is discarded as not useful, unprofitable. You know, unlike us, sometimes we keep things around that aren't useful anymore. We just keep them around. Well, the Lord doesn't do that. And so we learn that we need to be useful for the Master's use. Now, how can we do that? Let me suggest 8 things this morning for your admonition. First of all, we can be ready to be used by the Lord, first of all, by being in the Lord's service, not the devil's service. Look at that phrase, meet for the Master's use. Let me ask you this, is Jesus your Master? Have you become a Christian? If the answer is no, then you can't be used for the Master, if He's not your Master. In your current unconverted state, listen carefully, in your current unconverted state, you're being used by the devil. So the first step in being ready for the Master's use is to become a Christian. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we need to be translated out of the power of darkness, that's where we're being used now in the devil's service, and into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We need to come away from that place that we have been being used by the devil to now being used for the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, this word is used for Mark. Bring Mark, he's useful to me. But turn with me to Philemon verse 11. If you're not a New Testament Christian, then you can't be useful to the Lord. The only person who's using you right now is the devil, and he's enjoying it. And you need to tell him no. You need to say, I'm going to stop this right now. I'm not going to use my body and my mind and my mouth for the devil anymore. I'm going to use all of that for the Lord. I'm going to come out of that power of darkness. I'm going to be translated into the kingdom of His Son through baptism. And I'm now going to become profitable and useful in the Lord's service. Do you remember Philemon? Onesimus, the runaway slave. He belonged to Philemon. Philemon was the master. Do you remember Onesimus, verse 10? He was a runaway slave, and he had run away and run to Rome. And somehow, I believe, by the providence of God, had gotten connected with Paul. And Paul converted him. Look at verse 12. Whom I have sent back to thee in his own person, that he is in my very heart. Whom I would fain have kept with me, that in my behalf he might minister unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind, in other words, Philemon, without your permission, I would do nothing. That thy goodness should not be of necessity, but of free will. For perhaps he was therefore parted from thee for a season, he was a runaway slave, that you should have him forever, no longer as a servant, but more than a servant, a beloved brother. He left a runaway slave, now he's coming back a Christian. He's still a slave, but he's coming back a Christian, especially to me, but how much rather to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him, and so forth. Notice in verse 11, if you will, who was once unprofitable to thee, he was a runaway slave, he's not doing much good to Philemon while he's in Rome and elsewhere, but now is profitable to thee and to me. He's become a Christian, and that changes the whole thing. We need to become a child of God. Listen, we're not useful and profitable in our current spiritual state if we're not a Christian. But I'm a religious person, and I have a religious background. Still, we're not truly useful to the Lord until we fully come and obey Him. There's always going to be that little bit of mindset where we are defending things of the world. And we might even be defending some things of denominationalism or some other things out there until we fully come over and obey the gospel. There's always going to be this out here where we're being used for the things of man or the devil. We've got to become a Christian. That's the only way. Let Jesus be our master, not the devil. Number two, unless we're pure, we cannot fully be used for the Master's service. I want us all to think about our purity. And we sing in the song, but more holiness give me. If you look back at 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the scripture reading that we had, look at verse 21 again. If a man, he's talking about a member of the church, not just a male, but Christians. If a man therefore purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Look at this. Sanctify, which means set apart, pure, meet for the Master's use. If there are things in our lives that we are seeing and doing that is impure, that is going to be the very thing that keeps us from being useful to the Lord. Those dirty words, those dirty thoughts, those dirty actions, whatever the case might be, that's going to be the very thing that's going to keep me from being 100% useful to the Lord. Because the Lord's not going to use any of that. He doesn't want any of that. And He doesn't want any of His people doing that. And so we've got to be sanctified and set apart. Not only that, but have you ever known
a Christian who is engaged in worldliness and trying, you know, one foot in the world and one foot in the church, they're really not a good Christian. That they can't be counted upon, that they're causing problems, they may or may not come to services, there's always attitude problems. And so you can see that they're really not useful to the Lord.
And so 2 Corinthians chapter 6, turn with me there, we've got to separate ourselves. When we have some sort of impurity in our life, that's the very thing at that moment that keeps us from being fully useful, because while we're off doing that, we could have been doing something good for the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, then, we need to come out from among them, Paul says, and be separate from this worldliness and this unfaithfulness that he's been talking about since verse 14. Iniquity, darkness, those types of things. Come out from among them, verse 17, and be separate, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Having therefore these promises, that is the promise of having a father and being God's child, purge yourselves, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know why? So that we can be fully useful for the Master. The scripture there in 2 Timothy 2:21 says, sanctified, and then meet for the Master's use. Set apart. And so, if there is any impurity in our lives, let us remove that so that we can be fully useful to the Lord. A third characteristic that we need to think about with regard to this is that when I am completely receptive to God and His Word, and not closed-minded, then in my attitude I will fully be able to be used by the Lord. Do you remember the story of young Samuel? Turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. Why was Samuel growing up able to be used, at least in the early part of his life, in the Lord's work, and so effective for the Lord as a prophet of God? Well, we find in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 9, as a lad, as a youth, as a boy, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's how you get used for the Lord, when you have this open, receptive attitude. Whatever God says, I'm going to do. But when we begin to be closed-minded, and when we begin to say, well, I don't like the Scripture on that topic, then the Lord can't use us. We've got to be fully open to His Word in anything and everything. And that's the matter of Samuel. And so we need to have that attitude as well. And notice in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that Samuel had to go tell Eli some troubling things. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is Jehovah, let him do what seemeth good. And Samuel grew, and Jehovah was with him, and did let none of all his words fall to the ground. And even when Samuel had to go tell Eli some difficult things about himself and his own family, what's going to become of him, this whatever you say, Lord, speak, and thy servant hear. That's what really makes us useful to the Lord. Let's always keep our attitude and our mind open when we read the Word of God and be receptive of that. Not only that, and along those lines, we need to be a good Bible student. When we don't know the Word of God, and when we don't care to be informed in the Word of God, we can't be useful to the Lord. We cannot be useful to the Lord, because much of how He wants to use us in this life is teaching others and instructing others and taking the truth to others. And when I do not know the Word of God, I cannot be useful to the Lord. Our Bible classes and our sermons and personal Bible reading at home should be designed to learn the Word of God so that we can take that and talk with others about that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in the passage that we read earlier, come back with me again to verse 15. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. Look at that phrase in your Bible, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright
the word of truth. Some versions say rightly dividing the word of truth. But look at the idea of a workman. A workman needs to know his tool. Have you ever used something and you were using it and you really didn't know how to use it and maybe you got hurt with it or something else? A workman has to know how to use that tool and has to be informed and has to be skilled and studied in using that. Otherwise, he's not going to get the job done, or even worse, he might hurt himself or somebody else. And so, Timothy is instructed to take the Word of God and handle it aright. A part of that is involving our understanding of God's Word. And so study, study, study. Reading and studying. Otherwise, there's going to be a problem. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. There are those who twist the Scriptures and distort the Scriptures to their own destruction. They're not properly handling that tool of God's Word. And so the ignorant, look at this, the ignorant, that's the opposite of informed. The ignorant twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. So the solution, verse 18, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. We need to know the Word of God. Our Bible's open. We're going to take notes. We're going to study. We're going to do extra work. It's not going to be a bare minimum where I just have to barely fill out a Bible class lesson, but I want to read and study and know the Word of God. Only then can I be used for the Master's work. Sometimes we have opportunities to teach others, and we have not prepared ourselves in the Word of God, and so we feel inadequate. Have you ever thought about that matter of fear? We're fearful to talk with someone about the gospel. Where does that come from? What I'm about to explain is not in every case, but often it is the case that when someone is fearful, it has come from a lack of confidence. And that lack of confidence has come from a lack of information and understanding. And so it's a domino effect. Stop and think about it. What if I were invited, just after services this morning, somebody invited me to come over and do some open heart surgery at Northcrest? I'd be fearful of that. I would be fearful of that. No. I'm scared of what I might do. Why? Because I don't have any confidence in doing that. You know why? Because I've never studied how to do that. I've never gone, I don't know where those arteries are. You know? I don't know where those heart chambers are. I've never studied that. So I've never studied it. I don't have any confidence, and I don't have any confidence in it. I'm very fearful of going in there. I'm going to kill someone. There's going to be a lawsuit. So back it up. How do we get rid of the fear? Confidence. There's no fear in confidence. Well, how do we have the confidence? Being informed and study and know. And when you study and know and have the practice, Hebrews 5:14. We study, we grow, and by reason of use, we have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. By reason of use, and so information and use, that gives us the confidence, and the confidence dispels the fear, and we go right in and we do what we have to do. It's called med school. Med school is all about learning all of that. And it's also about the confidence in practicing it. And then you get off on your own and you do what you have to do. We're useful then. We're useful for the Master when it goes all the way back to being informed and knowing the Word of God. Then we're right out there and we can talk with whoever we need to talk to. Let us spend our time as much as we can studying that Word of God. How can we be ready to be used by the Lord? Well, when we're at His disposal. Well, I'm off doing this, and I'm off doing that. I'm busy doing this, and I'm busy doing that. The Lord needs us in His kingdom today. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. And so, the way that we can be used and most used by the Lord is to be at His disposal each day. Are we at the Lord's disposal each day? Or are we so consumed with the things of our life that we don't have time for Him? And we don't have in the vineyard of the Lord. Well, I don't have time to get out there in that vineyard. I've got places I've got to go, man. I know there's a vineyard, But I don't have time to get in it. I'm busy doing other things, you see.
In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah sees this vision, this grand and glorious God, holy, 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 and I believe that maybe this is what we need, not a miraculous vision like I believe this was, but when we see God on the pages of the Scripture, the greatness and the grandeur of God, look at verse 4, I said, woe is me. He sees this great God. We need to get back to seeing the greatness of God. Then look at what we find then. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is forgiven. And that's what we talked about earlier. The only way you can be useful to the Lord is to have your sins taken away. God can't use you as a sinful person. And so the first thing for Isaiah was to have his sin removed. But look at the second thing. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And we sing that in our songs, don't we? But do we really mean it? He was available. He was at the Lord's disposal. He was ready. Here am I, send me. Not busy. But our schedule is going to be such that the Lord has free reign of our schedule. Now, the Lord tells us that we need to take care of our family obligations and our marital obligations, and we're to work and take care of our own. And He wants us to do that and gives us time to do that. But even in those things, we can be doing the Lord's work, and we can put a priority on that and always be available. We need to be like Isaiah. Here am I, send me. And there are people that need to be talked to in this community, and there are people that need to be invited in this community and elsewhere. And there's work that needs to be done in and out of the building, and there are things that need to be done in the worship service and in the teaching program and in other kinds of things. And we need to be saying, here am I, here am I. Where's the list? Where can I sign up? See, that needs to be our approach. I am going to be at the Lord's disposal. What I want is secondary. What I've got going on in my life is secondary. It's the Lord's use. It's the Lord's work. And I'm going to be at His full disposal. How can I be ready? I can be selfless, not selfish, with my possessions. You remember Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 3? I think about all that God gives us. And I remember growing up as a child hearing older brethren talk about how that they wanted to use what God had given them, their homes and other possessions, in the Lord's work and in the Lord's service. And that made an impression on me. God gives us homes and cars and income and food and shelter and clothing and other kinds of things. Let's turn around and use that for the Lord's service. Matthew 21, verse 1, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and came unto Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village that is over against you, and straightway you'll find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them. And if anyone say aught unto you, well, why would they say aught unto you? Wait a minute. You're taking some other guy's donkey. What are you doing that? If anyone say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway He will send them. You're not going to use my donkey, Lord. Wait a minute now. I was going to use that today to go into town and do some things. The Lord hath need of them. We're going to be in the Lord's use and in the Lord's service. And we're going to use our physical possessions and our earthly possessions because the Lord needs them to do His work. We talked about some of that this morning with regard to the local contribution in the spreading of the gospel and benevolence and edification and those types of things. And in personal areas of our life as well, we share. We're not going to be selfish. We're going to be selfless. The Lord has need of them. Go ahead and take it, Lord. Whatever you need. I asked Brandon to read Matthew chapter 25. The Lord gives us talents, but brethren, we're not meet for the Master's use. If we don't use them, we bury them often. We have a mouth, but we won't use it to talk with others about the saving gospel. We have transportation, we have funds, and we have other kinds of things the Lord has given us, but we're like that one talent man, verse 24. I was fearful, and so I went and buried it. I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. Well, the Lord can't use us when we're burying our talents. We might have a talent to fix something. We might have a talent to organize a lesson. We might have a talent to invite someone. Every one of us here is Christians. We all have talents to do things. Let us not bury them. The Lord can't use us when we bury them. Not only can He not use us, but He will punish us for it. And that's the whole point of verses 26 and 27. You wicked and slothful servant. And verses 28, 29, and 30, He's cast out into outer darkness. It's not just a matter of He can't use us, but He'll punish us for it. There have been times in my life, maybe times in your life, where we could have walked through that open door, but we chose not to. It's kind of like the member of the church that you hear the knock on the door and you peep through the window and you see that it's two Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, I'm just not even going to go to the door. That's a talent that we didn't use. That's a door that we didn't go through. Those are two Mormons. I'm going to stay back here and hide. We have a talent. We have an opportunity. We have to use that. That's one of many examples. There are talents that we have that often through fear or some other reason we don't want to use them. We bury them. We cannot be useful in that situation. Get that talent out. Be like the two talent man and double it. Be like the five talent man and double it. Use what we have, whatever it is. Small or great, use it. Then we can be ready for the Master's use. And then one last thing, and the lesson is yours. We need to be prepared. You think about that military man. You think about that minute man back in the Revolutionary War. You think about the emergency personnel. The whole purpose of that, not just the training, but the readiness of the trucks and having the clothes ready to go and sliding down the pole and getting after it, all of that has to do with preparation, because time is of the essence in those emergency situations. And isn't, with regard to our soul's salvation and the lost souls of this world, isn't time of the essence? And so we're going to be prepared for every good work. Well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, information. We have to know our Bibles, and we already talked about that. And then secondly, we need practice. One way to be prepared is to practice. We've had all of the summer football camps going on. So when that first either preseason game or regular season game goes on, that football player is prepared to make that tackle. He's prepared to run this direction, to run. Why? Because they've been rehearsing all of that. Why all of the football camps? Why all of the summer practices? So that you're prepared and ready to go. You can run that route. You can make the block that you need to make. And so it's practice, practice, practice. Well, how am I prepared to give a Wednesday night talk? Practice. And if you want to come down here to the building, I'll practice with you. I've done that before with brothers. We'll practice. We'll practice teaching if I want to be a better teacher. We'll practice other things that we need to practice. Let's practice song leading. Let's practice talking with others about the gospel so that we are prepared and ready to go. That is the idea. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to rulers, to be ready unto every good work. In other words, non-readiness is not an option. Being not ready is not an option with the Lord. We can't be used. Well, I just wasn't ready. And so that opportunity went by. Well, I just wasn't ready. And that quarter went by and I didn't teach. Well, I just wasn't ready. And so that knock at the door where somebody I could have told, well, that's not what the Lord wants. Readiness. Look at verse 8. To the end that they have believed, may be careful to maintain good works. Verse 14, let our people also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. So it's practice, it's information, it's learning, it's going through the motions, and if I can help you do that, I would be glad to do that. And you can help me as well. Let us be prepared when that door of opportunity opens up, that we can walk through that. Well, the lesson is yours. Are you ready for the Master's use? Are you fit? Suitable? The word literally means easily used. If you're not a Christian, you're not. You need to be a New Testament Christian. Only those who are New Testament Christians, and notice that I didn't say just religious in general, but the point of that is that even if I'm just religious in general, I'm still not going to be fully useful to the Lord because of that human religious background that I'm trying to maintain or condone or hold on to. I'm not 100% over to just simply being a New Testament Christian following the Lord. I need to be clean. Is there something that I need to get rid of today? I need to be receptive. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now, I don't want to hear that Bible stuff. Now, preacher, you've gone to meddling, and that, yeah, I don't want to hear that. Well, if it's from the Word of God, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I want to be informed, and I want to be a workman that handles the Word of God. I've gotten into trouble because I was using something that I really didn't know how it worked. And I've gotten in trouble with that. I don't want to have that with the Bible. I'm handling this. I want to know that top, side, and bottom, in and out, backwards and forwards. And so I'm going to study to show myself approved. And when I miss it somewhere, you bring that to my attention. I would consider you a friend in doing that. Bring that to my attention if I'm mishandling the Word of God. I need to be available. Here am I. Send me. I need to be selfless. If you want my donkey, Lord, you can have it. I need to be talented. And what I mean by that is not in the Hollywood sense or in the professional sports sense, but in the sense that God gives us all a talent. And I'm going to use that. I'm not going to bury it. And then I'm going to be prepared unto every good work. Can we make you more useful this morning? Can we assist you? Can we encourage you? And that's what I mean by make. Can we encourage you to be more useful to the Lord? Maybe it's going to be by just simply coming forward for the first time and obeying the gospel. We're not giving up a promise. Tonight I'd like to talk about some things, but we may never make it until tonight. I would love to come back and worship with you again tonight, but we may never make it. That time may never come. You know what? You can spend the next 6 hours or so, even if we don't make it back tonight, you can spend the next 6 hours in the Lord's service and useful to the Lord. Just this afternoon, if you become a Christian. And if we need to make a change in some way as an erring child of God, let's go out being ready and meet and useful for the Lord. If there's something that we need to change, whether it's the matter of being available and scheduling, and whether it's a matter of being prepared and informed, or whatever it is that we discussed this morning, getting rid of that defilement, whatever it is, let's be the best use that we can be. We're not going to be in the devil's service. We're not going to give him one instrument to use. We're going to be an instrument of righteousness, Romans 6, 17 and following. Not an instrument, a tool of unrighteousness, but an instrument of righteousness, meet and ready for the Master's use. And if we can encourage you to be that way this morning, why won't you come as we stand and sing?